doctors have admitted him and are just checking him out and monitoring. So we'll have updates as soon as we can. So actually, could we pray for Adil? Yeah. All right. So Father, I just thank you that you are here, that you are among us. You are a God of power and you're a God of healing. And so Father, we just invite you right now to come into the hospital room with Neil. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will heal his body. Lord, with whatever might be going on with the heart, that you will regulate it and put it back in step with perfect health, God, that restore any tissue that may have been damaged. I ask, Father, that you will just surprise doctors with high oxygen levels, high blood count, perfect heart, Father. Just heal him, God. Set his rhythm into that appropriate rhythm and set his heart rate at the proper rate, Father. You know his body. You designed him from before the day he was born. And so, God, cause that heart to come into alignment with the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Amen. And peace for his family. That's not easy, huh? So that's the bad news. The worst news is I have no idea what we're talking about. Huh? So we're gonna start with Genesis. We're gonna keep on going. See where how far we can get. In the beginning, that's softball. Actually, let's look at Psalms chapter 126. We do have some slides up here, so obviously I'm lying about no idea, but only partial idea. So this is a song of ascent, and in the middle of the Psalms, there were these chapters that came from this idea that people were going from their homes and visiting Jerusalem, right? And in that story, Jerusalem represents God's presence. You guys know what that is, right? Never, like today, did anybody feel or experience the presence of God? Just me and you, right? And you too? Okay. It's important we recognize and we call it out. It is a privilege anytime God allows us to sense his presence. It's a privilege, right? I mean, we should be grateful. We should not overlook that. We should not treat that as if it's common or, right? I mean, the King of Kings opened up the doorway to his throne and said, come. That is incredible. Okay, so Psalms 126 is one of those chapters where the people are heading into Jerusalem and they're reflecting on the goodness of God. They're preparing their heart to be in his presence, you know? And it starts with this. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. Well, what exiles are we talking about? So you remember the people of God sinned and the Lord allowed them to be captured and exiled from their land, right? And they were deported for 70 years in another country, right? And so they were released to return home back to Jerusalem. And they're saying, hey, when we, the exiles, were returning to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. The thing we're talking about in this series is how God wants to affect generations. He wants to use families to affect families, and he wants to affect us so that we can affect our own families, right? We're talking about grandparents, parents, great-grandparents for some of you, right? Children affecting those older than them, right? I mean, we're talking about generations here are at stake if God wants to move. And I want to just call out the fact that these exiles, right, these were families. These were entire family units heading back home after being in exile. Why is that significant? Because sometimes we only think of our spiritual walk in terms of our own life. Our personal, like Jesus is our personal Savior. Well, he's also our family Savior, you know? And our neighborhood Savior and our, right, our workplace Savior. And our extended family, God help them, right? And when he brought those families back into his presence for another encounter after a dry spell, it was like a dream. What's that? It was like a dream. to find and taste freedom, to taste once again another encounter of the Spirit of God that you know, after a long dry spell, right? I'm camping on this end because I just have this sense like the Lord is saying, I don't want to be taken for granted. Like the Spirit of the Lord is, don't take me for granted. Don't assume that this is normal. Don't just sway to the music. Don't just do life because that's what you've always done. Stop, break the cycle for a minute, and return to your first love. Right? And we were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. Have you ever been so filled with the Holy Spirit that you just could not control your joy? Isn't it so cool? Most of the time it kind of tries to come out, but it just kind of comes out in tears instead because I'm far too controlled for that laughter thing. you try to block it, it'll come out another way. Don't try to stop the tears or you'll have to change your drawers. Hey, in case you were wondering, you were wondering. Okay, so then this is the next piece that I want to say. So other nations are watching the joy of the Lord that we're falling upon these broken people who are being restored back to God's presence. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. So the worship of these families as they were coming out of a dry spell in a broken place and coming into his presence together, right? You think about it, these families are, you know, husband, wife, and children, and grandparents, and they're all, I mean, they've got to work together. And they're going into the presence of God, and they're laughing, and they're singing, and they're so excited about his presence. And then other nations are watching this caravan, and they're like, wow, what amazing things God has done. And it was not the fact that people were just traveling from point A to B. It was the fact that there was worship and laughter and joy that was making people take notice and appreciate the contrast of broken versus laughing, celebrating, loving God, and just enjoying who he is, right? I think it was significant what Casey said about the dry spell. I have some of that in my notes, and I don't have many notes, but so the likelihood of him hitting that is pretty good. So good job. The nations got to see a people that were not only going back home and back into God's presence, but they were getting to see a people who were forgiven, a people who were healed and put back together, a people who were being delivered, right? Not a people who had arrived yet, right? They're on their way. They're not there yet. And they're enjoying the journey, not the destination in this particular case. And the nations are still saying, wow. Not, well, let's wait and see. And then if they get there, then we'll say, wow. I mean, they're like already these ragtag broken people wearing their slave clothes. And still they're saying, wow, what God has done some amazing things for these people, right? Why would you say that, Daryl? Because I think there's this important thing that we have to wear our worship out loud. And it's okay if we're not perfect, gosh. I think it's even more impactful sometimes when we're not. Right? So our worship is not just our songs, but our worship is our lifestyle, and it's a continual coming back to his presence. And, you know, you're not going to be perfect, so get over that, right? And just start focusing in on the daily, Lord, I still need you, I still want you, I'm still coming, right? Okay, so yes, now verse number 3, yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy, right? They're actually now agreeing with the nations, so they're like laughing and celebrating. The nations are noticing, wow, God's been good, and they're like, yeah, actually, he has been awesome, right? And so now there's a dialogue, there's a It's a dialogue that's happening in the psalm, but this is paralleling to life, right? It's our worship that actually starts the conversation so that people can notice, so then that we can engage them and say, yep, God is good. Sounds like someone's getting evangelized right now in this psalm. Right? And it's people who are dirty and they're wearing their slave clothes and they probably have BO and yet they're laughing and the world wants to know, what the heck is going on? This is awesome. Yep. Let me tell you, it's awesome. God's goodness, not mine. Right? I'm dirty, look. I'm dirty. But he's so good and he's taking me on a journey. And I'm going back into him, deeper into him. I've been away so long, right? So the imperfections is not the problem. It's just part of the story, right? And it's not an excuse. It's just like, I'm basically trying to take away the excuse not to be real and vulnerable, okay? What were you going to say, David?
Since Aislinn's not here, I have to
say this. Okay. Okay, well, let me give you a mic so there's proof.
She's probably listening.
Okay.
So back in the day when we used to do the historical reenactment stuff, for those who don't know, the historical reenactment community is really rife with pagans, people who claim paganism as their religion. And we had a situation where we didn't have a car and random strangers gave us a car. And Aislinn was very excited, and as those of you who know Aislinn, she likes to tell everybody her stories, and she was telling them how God gave her a car. And this one gentleman who was listening to this looked at her and said, you mean I've been sacrificing pigeons all these years for nothing? And she looked him dead in the eye and says, yes, you have. And it was that opportunity that in that celebration, in that worship, that opened up the line of communication that allowed her to share and communicate with him.
So good. Yes. Awesome. So bragging on the Lord was the mechanism, not talking about how hard it's been. Very cool. The Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Verse number four, restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Hey, it's legal to pray that. It's in the Psalms. This is not a prosperity message, but hey, it's legal. Right? Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. And this piece also speaks to this wilderness experience that you were talking about. But this idea that sometimes we just keep pressing through something and it's not comfortable and there's tears involved and there's, you know, lack involved and there's weeping and there's still planting but not feeling like there's harvesting in your life, right? That agony feeling, some of us call it transition time. Some of us call it wilderness experiences. Some of us call it just being stupid and getting what you deserve. Right? It could be a little of all of the above. But God is like entering into the disappointment. And he's almost like giving us like this picture of hope that's like, as you come into my presence, as you make that the priority, it doesn't matter where you are today, you are heading into the viability of all that the life of God creates. Okay? There's freedom, there's healing, there's growth, there's whatever we need, right? You won't always get what you want, but you will get what you need. Can we? Here's the question. It's rhetorical unless someone has an answer, okay? If Donna were here, we'd have an answer. Can we face loss and dryness and weeping and remain well-loved in the Father's embrace? The right answer is yes. Do we? Right? Some of us are on our best with him when our life is at its worst. Right? And some of us, we just get ticked off at him and we get impatient with him and we struggle with him. And he's like, I'm trying to love you here in the broken places. And you're like saying, well, if you really love me, you would take me out of the broken places. And he's like, well, I want to love you in that. No, I don't really want that. I want freedom and I want my stuff. I want to be happy. Well, can't you be happy if I'm embracing you in this? You fill in the answer. Yes? The question here is not about your tenacity and your endurance, your ability to just wait it out and press through. There are no bootstraps on your soul. You can't pull them up and keep going, you know? Right? You just sit and either embrace the love of God or you don't. Tough one, because it sounds so cool when you're standing up here, but it's really hard to walk it out, you know what I mean? It is, and it's okay. Like, if we all looked at each other and said, that's a hard one. That is hard, but it's tight, but it's right. And last week we spoke about Joshua and how he would stay behind in the tent of meeting when Moses would leave after Moses was speaking face to face with God, right? And it was Joshua who just sat there. Can we just sit with him? Can we just like sit with him? And even in those places, like in this story where maybe the fortunes have not been restored yet, and maybe they're planting in tears, and maybe there's weeping, right? And can we just sit in his presence? Make that a priority? Or do we feel like we have to continuously do? I mean, is it a treat to run into the presence of the Lord, or is it a devotion? It can be both. I'm not trying to... Was that? Oh. I will. So I'm not trying to say, hey, devotion is a bad thing and therefore don't call it devotion, right? Sometimes love takes work, right? But I guess it's a insight into, it's a perspective into what you have, right? Are you running into the presence of God as it's a treat for you, it's life, it's him? Or is it, I have to do this, it's on my checklist, I have a badge on my Bible app that I have to earn. Right? It's like all these weird forms of motivation that, I mean, thank God for them. When our attitude stinks, there's other things that can kick in, but I want to shake your attitude, and I would just, is it a treat to run into the presence of the Lord? Right? All right. Chore, duty, obligation. Yeah, we know God doesn't love a obligated giver. All right. Running quickly out of time. So John 15, verse 9 through 12, Jesus is speaking. You guys like John 15? It's a really good chapter. I recommend it. One of the best. I agree, Stu. So, Stu and I are going to read this together in unison. All right. Jesus is speaking, and he said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Can you imagine that? Like, can you imagine the way God loves Jesus? And Jesus is like, that's the way I love you. It's so unfathomable. Remain in my love. That's your job. Right? So here's the question. What is it? I mean, how do I not remain in his love? You figure it out, right? But there's definitely a life of running from the love of God, and there's a life of running into the love of God. And you have to decide and let the Holy Spirit lead you in making a discernible choice and judgment of where are you and where are you going and what is the priority here. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So don't let that whole thing become a legalistic thing, because the devil would love to turn every form of passion, desire, and love for Jesus into legalism. Right? But at the same time, we can't strip out the whole holiness message and just say, or obedience message, and just say, ah, that doesn't count, that doesn't matter, right? There's this give and take, and it's always got to err on the side of I'm pursuing him, and I'm laying down stuff, and I'm screwing up, and I'm repenting, and I'm going back again, right? The day that we stop repenting and the day that we stop wrestling with something is the day that we know that we're not abiding in the love of God. We're actually abiding in the love of ourselves. Right? Sure, if I can remember what I said. The day that we stop wrestling and repenting over something is the day that we're no longer abiding in the love of God, we're abiding in the love of ourselves. So remain in my love. I mean, he wants to make you the object of his love all the time, right? And he wants to be loved by you. And what is it about us? It's like, I'd rather put your love on pause because I have some stuff I got to do. Let's keep reading. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Did you notice in Psalms 126 that joy was a huge component? Right? And he's saying, I want you to have that. Like, I don't care if you're an exile or not an exile. I just want you to sit in my joy. So I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with it. Yes, your joy will overflow. What's a joy overflow look like? A giggle. You know, right? It's something that the world can experience and see. It's not just internal. Now it's spilling out. Whatever it looks like for you. But the world needs to see that. And in order to see that, you have to be in his love. You have to be abiding in that place of his love, right? Or else the world's not going to see it. The world's going to see you struggling, striving, having the right answers, the right argument, the right scriptures. And they're like, so what? I'll call you when I want to go to Bible class, right? This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I've loved you. By the way, I don't want this just for you. I am your personal savior, but I'm your corporate savior, and I want you to love everybody else just like I'm loving you, because I want them to experience the love of God and have their joy overflowing, and you guys need to do this together, right? And this, in my mind, keeps going back to this idea of the generations and how the Lord just wants so badly to affect entire people groups. And this is why it's so critical that we just keep wearing our love for each other out loud and on purpose, you know? Are you guys with me? Cool, because I'm almost done. He wants us to love others from the place of accepting and remaining in his love. So yes, it's the command to love, but remember our discussion about obligation and duty and all that, right? I only love you because I have to, because God told me, he commanded me, so I'm going to love you, right? Bad attitude, it doesn't work, right? You don't get credit. So we have to love from the place of accepting and internalizing and embracing the love that he has for us. Let that be our identity, and then that is what propels our ability to love someone else, right? We know whose we are, and that comes out. Overflows. Yeah. So that's just a check your oil to see if it's dirty and needs to be changed. You know? Ask the Holy Spirit, how's my dipstick looking? And he's going to either say, great, or he's going to be like, gross. Yeah. Go on, grow up. And all the sixth grade humor people said, amen. It was until I said dipstick, and everybody like, all right. It'll bring us back. He loves us in our imperfection and in our brokenness, and that's what he's asking us to do for other people. And that is not always easy, but it's okay. Because he still loves us in our brokenness, right? So there's like a whole lot of grace that has to be extended. I'm not talking about putting your life in the hands of someone who's so toxic they're destroying you, but at the same time, like, there's a place for lots of grace in our life. And I think we as Americans tend to be very good at boundaries and not so good at the love thing. Know what I mean? There's a lot of self-help books on boundaries, not a lot of self-help books on how to love the unlovable. That's right. Right. Yeah. I'm pretty well done here. I did want to point out one thing that if you want to see this in an example, Acts 4, verse 13. You guys want to flip to it? I don't have a slide for it. The disciples were on trial. They were being ridiculed and punished in front of the church leaders of their day, the Jewish leaders. And the members of the council were telling the disciples to stop talking about Jesus, right? Or something far worse is going to happen to you, right? And the members of the council, this is chapter 4, verse 13 of Acts, were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. What did they see? No training, right? But they also said they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. What did that look like? If they're not intelligent, they're not trained and learned, but they still have this boldness reeking out of them, then what was the thing that Jesus imparted to them over those 3 years? If it wasn't information and training, what was it? Passion, desire, love for who he is. And that was what shone in their actions, in their words. The joy of the Lord, even under struggle, right, was so apparent to these men. They were like, you guys are like ordinary dudes, and yet there's something strange about you just because you've been with Jesus, right? And that's what I guess I'm just wanting to spend the rest of this next few minutes is calling out for God to do more of that in us. You know, the easy thing today would be for me to say, hey, start reading more of your Bible. Read this Bible study. Do more. Try harder. Fill in the blank, right? Do. And it's not. It's not that. It's can we dial down? Can we prioritize and run into the presence of God? And can we let the passion, the desire, the love of God shape us, put joy in us, and then come out of us? How do you pray and ask for that? What book are we going to buy? Right? So let's pray. I don't know if you're willing to play something. I'm putting you on the spot, Allison, but if you're willing to, it would be great. We're looking forward to see what you'll come up with. No pressure. Play something in E. No. Father God, we love you. We just thank you for a fresh reminder today of how much you absolutely love us. Your love is absolute, unquestionable. And the invitation that Jesus gave to remain in the love of God, Lord, it's so mind-blowing to me. So mind-blowing to me that the God of heaven and earth would say, I want to just love on you until you fill up with joy, and then that just overflows and affects everything. God, why would you even offer that to us imperfect people? Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being so kind and so generous. And so, God, today as we sit here in your presence, of course, our heart is responding, yes. With all my heart, I say yes. I want to enter in and live my life with the priority of just spending my day in the love of God until my joy overflows and honors you. And then comes Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Father, and we sometimes forget. We sometimes become overwhelmed. We lose focus. And God, we return back to patterns. And so, Father, right now I'm asking for you to break patterns. We're giving permission to you, to the God of heaven and earth, to come in and strip us of what is comfortable, what is a pattern, what makes us move like a well-oiled machine, and we say, God, if you want to blow it up, mess it up, screw it up, you got to do what you got to do. But I want to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I want my joy to overflow. We spent quite a bit of time this morning talking about laying down a sin or laying down a struggle or, you know, that thing. It's still there for anybody who hasn't quite subscribed to the idea. For some of us, it's not just that, though. It's busyness. It's self-pursuit. For some of us, it's not knowing where to begin. For some of us, it's isolation. We've cut ourselves off from the people of God, and so the Lord is waiting. For some of us, it's we just refuse to make the time to enter in. We say, I don't understand it. I don't, right? And I just feel this sense like the Lord is saying, hey, you can be absolutely right and secure about the fact that you're right, and you can still miss it. So why don't you just come unlearned and be in my presence? And let the world know that you've been with me. Does anybody have a yes and amen prayer? So the Lord's speaking. It's for this body, for this moment, on this topic. It's appropriate. It's led by the Holy Spirit.
In some ways, I don't want to be the person that's talking every week, but I feel like I'm overflowing and I'm happy and I have to share it. So yesterday, you know, we had a party at our house, and, you know, sometimes I think, man, it's a lot of work, and Kelly's working about, you know, doing a lot, and I'm thinking, man, we just got so much going on. But yeah, I like that. I like that kind of thing. And so yesterday when they were there, a lot of that was the Lord. I see the Lord in weird ways. And yesterday, as somebody was leaving, one of the brothers, we were out front, and there's probably 15, 20 kids running up and down the driveway. And he was like, wow, isn't this amazing? These kids are all getting along. They're having a great time. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right, dude. And I was thinking, you know, some of these kids, I have no idea where they're going to be later and how God can use them. And I was like, the Lord hit me with a 2x4, kind of saying, you know, you don't think you can make a difference, but these little kids are having that opportunity to have this time together, and I have no idea where they're going to be later down the road. And it was just such a blessing to see that with the kids. And then there's so many little things that, as Daryl was preaching, it was just reminding me of last night, little things that I don't think is God of the Lord, and yet it's the Lord. Somebody was just sharing, you know, I just want a best friend. And we know we have that in Jesus, but I know what they're talking about. It's like we struggle in life when we want one another, and it was like, I see Jesus. I see Jesus in that person and myself in that person. And then somebody was sharing just how, you know, even before they were a Christian, all the little things that had happened in their life, and they saw Jesus. And I was like, wow, you know, Lord, you're right. I see it. I see Jesus in all of you. And it really spurs me. When I hear you talking like that, I mean, it just pushes me. And I want to be pushed, because all the crap that we face, it's like the enemy just wants to put me in a place where I can't be useful. And it was like, I want to listen to you. I want to hear your stories. I wish I just had time to hear every single one of your stories. I see Jesus in you. You may not see it. You may not feel it. And you may think you're a piece of crap. I've lived that life too long. I'm telling you, Jesus is in you. Jesus is in you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Father God, would you just impress upon our hearts this morning as we leave the body and go about our week, that this week, as we fall to our knees, as we get in our prayer closets, and we're crying out for something in our lives, would you impress upon us, Lord, to be praying for one another, to be loving one another? Would you help us to find those moments throughout the week to just call up a brother or sister, to be the light of Jesus in our workplaces, in our schools? Would you help us, Lord, even if we're someone that is on the mountaintop right now, would you help us to just reach down to a brother or a sister that might feel as though they're in the valley? Would you help us to share our joy, the joy that comes from you? Would you help it to overflow? Use us, Lord, in us, through us. Let us not get too busy. Let us not get too distracted with all of the things that need to happen. Because that's busyness, Lord, and that doesn't come from you. Let us sit in your presence. Let us sit at your feet, Lord. Help us be more like you. Help us to adopt an attitude that is your attitude. Lord, this world needs more of your attitude. Help us to be that for one another. Help us to be that in our communities. Help us to be that in our families, our extended families. Help us to not take offense, Lord.
Yes.
Help us just to love one another. I'm thinking of the verse right now that talks about what you have done to the least of these, you have done to me. And there's people all around us that need hope and need love and need joy. And Jesus, if you were sitting right in front of us today, right here, and we saw your face, would we not share joy in your time of need? Would we not share love? Would we not let it overflow from us? Lord, surely we wouldn't keep that from you. So Lord, help us not to keep it from others. Help us to remember that you went to the cross not just for me, not just so that I could be selfish, but for all. Help us, Lord, to be more like you as we go about our walk. Your grace is sufficient. Lord, you are worthy. Lord, we love you. We love you with all we are. Let it be our prayer. Let it be our prayer. Help us overflow, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Spend like 2 minutes If you have to go, you got to go and get it. But I just want to respond to the Lord with the worship song that you're singing. Just begin to surrender yourself to Him in this worship. Maybe you don't even know the song because we're not going to have words, obviously. But just love on Jesus.
It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Yeah. It's overwhelming.
Lord, we just ask that you breathe upon this prayer that we want to sit at your feet. And for some of us, we just want to. And Lord, we're asking for life to be breathed upon this time in your presence, God, that it would truly go into our core and change us. Fill our joy tanks, God. Use us to be witnesses, carriers of your presence for others, God. Oh, Father, let our families experience the joy coming out of us, not just strangers and people outside our homes, but Lord, start in our homes. We love you. Love you so much. Welcome to just sit and connect with the Lord, and you're also welcome to go out and pick up your kids, but if you don't mind, keep the conversation out there so that we don't disrupt anybody who wants to spend more time in him, okay? Thanks, everybody. Love you. Goodbye.